M16. Number 1B.
So, what happens when truth begins to touch the human? So we could say, well, the very, very first thing is that the divine comes to the human. Therefore, it is actually the divine subjective sense that comes to the human. And so we can ask first, and this is column 4, in which form does it come to the human? Can you see, this is an important subcategory, so we just divide up that whole level of Christian Science into little steps. So first you have mind, or the synonymous term, coming down through the level of science, divine science, absolute Christian Science, and now what happens first? It begins to touch the human, so that the human suddenly feels a touch of the divine. So here we can ask in which form, in which way, through which qualities does really the divine touch the human? What happens when the divine touches the human? Then we know that it does something to the opposite of the human. Yes? Because they are not congruent, they do not coincide, the divine and the material is erroneous. So when the divine comes in at the point of category 4, then it begins to do something in the opposite field. So you have category 5. What does it do in the realm of its suppositional opposite? Yes? When it does do something to the suppositional opposite, and begins to translate that, to heal that, to exchange that, what is the outcome of it? What is the outcome in the human of this process? Well, the outcome of it is that we improve, say in a general way, that something is better with us, whatever it is, so that the next category, which you have here, category 6, shows what attitude does it raise in the human. What divine attitude does it raise in the human. So you can see here, all that which is in the category of 6 shows us actually the effect of the synonymous term, coming down to the human and doing something to its opposite, so that the better state of things in the human is being established, so that the human responds to the divine. Isn't that so? That's the purpose of it. So that finally you can ask yourself, what then is that which has disappeared, which has been healed? What is then that? Is that, and where has it gone? And what is it? So, and a further category, category 7, is necessary, showing really how does it appear when it is not understood. Meaning that the opposite, the counterfeit, is not something by itself, can you see? But that it is a misunderstanding of all that has gone before, a misunderstanding of the synonymous term. Therefore, can you see in here that here in this category we will find, I would say, a very terrific thing. Namely, in this category we find all those counterfeits of the seventh synonymous term. We find in there the counterfeit of mind as mortal mind, the counterfeit then of spirit as matter, and so on. But that we know. But what we have to see here is that these counterfeits are now belonging to the synonymous term, because there is only one being. But they are shown that these counterfeits appear, really on the level of misunderstanding. Yes? So that, to just state it right away, that we can see what is mortal mind. Mortal mind, if there is only one being and no two beings, then that mortal mind must be divine mind, but on a very definite level, namely on the level of misunderstanding. So that on the level of misunderstanding, divine mind appears as mortal mind. And only in this way we can conserve the oneness of being. As long as we think there is a divine mind and there is a human mind or mortal mind or erroneous mind, we still think very, very distinctly in a dualistic sense. So we have to find somehow the solution for it. And the solution that we find is to see that the counterfeits are not counterfacts, that they are not realities, but that they are a certain level, namely that level in human consciousness which says, I do not understand. So we can resolve all those counterfeits as a level of misunderstanding. And in this way, still are really in the same big oneness of being, that there is only one mind. Is that somehow clear? Aha, you improve. Good. So, still, you know, I go through it again, and every time I go through it, perhaps it becomes clearer. I recapitulate. We go out, there is one being. There doesn't exist two beings. There is no realm of reality and the realm of unreality. There's only one realm, reality. But somehow we conceive of that reality in a dualistic sense. And we have to resolve that. How can we resolve it? The answer lies in seeing that we have to think in a multi-dimensional way. Instead of only thinking in one dimension, as the ordinary student does. For the ordinary student, he thinks on one level, on one dimension, where either something is or it is not. That's the old Aristotelian logic. Either something is or it is not. That's the third law of Aristotle. This logic is no more right, especially not in the spiritual field. There is only the oneness of being. The apparent dualistic sense can be resolved through a multi-dimensional concept instead of a one-dimensional attitude. Therefore, within our consciousness, we must re-educate ourselves very definitely, that we begin to be aware of being always in a multi-dimensional way, and see that one dimension, though it looks different than the other dimension, see, I can still go back again to our common illustration of the cylinder, huh, that is projected on another level and gives forth then a different phenomena, which doesn't seem to be identical, but in fact is identical when it is considered dimensionally. So here too, we have, so to say, seven dimensions. We have four with their subcategories, but for the sake of today, we will always now talk in the seven so that we can distinguish it better. So we have to get used more and more to think at the same time in a multidimensional way, where something is something and at the same time six different other things, which have no outward resemblance, and yet inwardly they are of the same identity, namely of the identity of the synonymous term. So the synonymous term, so to say, is a fundamental identity. In our example, it's the cylinder, and that identity translates itself to various dimensions, each dimension showing forth another phenomena. These phenomena, compared with one another, seem to contradict themselves. Seen dimensionally, they coincide. They are of the same identity. You can see what this will mean for practical experience, that if somebody sees a phenomena that is in category 5, and the other sees a phenomena that is in category 7, that they will fight with each other which one is true, and they argue endlessly and never find an answer, until they learn that they have to consider being in a dimensional sense and see the one who sees it from 5 sees it right, the one who sees it from the category of 7 he is right, because it's all one identity. And therefore we will get into a habit in practice, in everyday life, in relationship to people, to what they do and what they say and what attitude they have, etc., to be first able to classify properly their attitude or what is going on and what is happening, to classify it properly into these 7 categories and see from which endpoint it is right. So, if we consider those 7 as a flow, we just can see that a synonymous term says first, or presents itself first, on the level of science itself by pinpointing what the synonymous term is in its own nature, to its own nature, what it is by itself, when it is not related to anything else. Then we can go to the category 2 and see that synonymous term also presents itself on the level of divine science, on a realm sense, what it is in its own realm. When we have seen it in its own realm, we can translate it even further to absolute Christian science and show what relationships exist in that realm when we consider the relationship of principle to specific ideas. Absolute Christian science, category 3. So up to now we still were in a divine realm without taking in any human consideration. Now when we come to category 4, we say to ourselves, now what impact has it when that divine sense touches the human sense? 4, how does it come to the human? It comes naturally for the human in an objective way, it comes in. So what does it do to the human? No, sorry. How does it come to the human? When it comes to the human, and the human is always a mixture of good and evil, so that we can say, now, what does it do to the opposite, category 5? Because the human is a mixture, and then the divine comes to the human, it asks out something that is erroneous in the human. So it asks out the erroneous. So what does it do in the realm of the suppositional opposite? It's the healing aspect that is taking place, the correcting aspect that is taking place. When that healing or corrective attitude of category 5 is manifested, we come to category 6, namely, then the situation is better than before. So something better in the human is being brought about. So category 6 says, what attitude does it raise in the human? Actually, it's difficult sometimes to just give a title to a category in a few words, but you get the tonality, I'm quite sure. And if it does something to the human, so that the human begins to disappear and the human takes on more of the divine, one asks ourselves, well, what then was that erroneous concept or the erroneous state? And we must say, well, that their own estate is actually a misunderstanding of the synonymous term. So you get to the last column, 7, where we said, how does it appear when it is not understood? That's one way to put it. Huh? So that in the last column we have the counterfeits, not as a counterfact, but we have the counterfeit as a misunderstanding of the synonymous term. And so, even the counterfeit is taking into the explanation of the synonymous term. It is therefore no more something by itself, an opposing thing, so that the unity or oneness of being is maintained. Yeah. Clear? Capito?
Yes. Yeah.
And if you look just with your eye, without reading, if you look really at that Christian Science level, which covers category 4 to 7, you see how many terms are there are, how many ideas, qualities, attributes, etc. there are, and you can see that as long as we did not subcategorize the level of Christian Science, that we had just one big muddle, that there were too many concepts that were not really of the same nature, and therefore we never had a satisfactory answer for the question we have asked at the beginning, how can we categorize the ideas of a synonymous term? So in this way, you begin to see that we can really have a better insight into what is happening within a synonymous term. Yes. Well, I think that is all I can say at the moment about the categories. And actually, the best way now to understand these categories just by going through the seven synonymous term, through the ideas that appear in those categories, and that exercise really is schooling us very much in the dimensional sense. All right, so let's take mind. The first page you have. Mind. We will find that perhaps not all the terms that you have here are in the first go perhaps very natural or very easy, and that has mostly to do with the following difficulty which we will encounter over and over and over, namely that we have in these columns just single terms, just a word, and that is by itself insufficient. We have seen in the last few years that meaning is relational. You know, we had that over and over in text interpretation, that we could see that a term by itself isn't clear enough and doesn't really convey the right meaning, that a term only conveys the right meaning when it is seen in a whole context, so that only then we understand what is meant by a term. So here it is difficult to work just with single terms and not be able constantly to say, well, it naturally is meant in this context and not in that context. Though, in a way, the context is given through the category. So terms that are in category one, that those terms naturally are in a certain context, namely in the context of the title that is given for the category one. So that defines under which context we understand a term. But as we go on, I will bring out here and there how difficult it is to get the right concept if we are not really thinking in categories. All right, now, if we take mind and ask ourselves in the first category, what could we put down there in order to characterize mind as what mind is in itself, or what it is as itself, without any relationship to anything else. So no relationship to a universe, no relationship to an idea, no relationship to the human, but just asking, what is it as such? So here we felt that we could first bring out that mind, what it is to itself, is a one mind. That mind is just the one mind. That mind is all, with a capital A. We had on the mind, we have that idea, all, with a capital A, meaning that mind is to itself what? All. It is perhaps also the first. What is it to itself? Well, it's to itself first. It doesn't say there is something else, a second or a third, because it does not know anything besides itself. So it is always to itself the very first thing. It is basis. Again, you can see it has not to do with any relationship. It is in itself basic. It is prime ordinal. We have put there conception, primordial conception. You see, we can say that what is mind as such? Mind as such is that it has a conception of itself. Without the conception of itself, it would not even be aware. So it is the primordial conception of being, that is the innate meaning of mind. So to say, mind, minding mind. That's the mind sense. The primordial conception, or the infinite light. It is, I think, intelligence. That's what mind usually is considered to be. It is to itself intelligence. It is that primordial conception that is intelligent, that is basic, that is the all, so that we get the feeling here that mind as such, is actually that primordial conception that is an infinite light and an infinite intelligence per se, and is all. There is no other mind, that it is the divine will, because mind is that which says, I want to be my own mind, I want to express myself, I want to have a conception. It is the divine power. See, power does not need to be related to anything fundamentally. It is action. That is mind to itself. So in that first column, actually, you get a terrific basic sense of what mind is. It's always in that first column, naturally, that we get the basic of a synonymous term, because it depicts what mind just is to itself, without any further relationship. All right, we have to stop here.